If you have your Bibles, open your Bibles to Ephesians chapter 4. And really a foundational passage for the local church. I preached this not too long ago to the church that I go to. Frequently I'll preach in the afternoon service that we have. And I brought this message to them, but because it's really about the local church, it's for every church around. And because it's in God's Word, it's timeless. It's for us today. So I want to just bring a message to you from Ephesians chapter 4, verses 11 to 16. And it's titled this, Toward a Mature Church. And it could also be titled, Toward a Mature Believer. Because that's really what we're striving for as individuals and as a church body. It's maturity. We want to look more and more like Christ. We might call it Christ-likeness. That's your goal and that's my goal. And Ephesians chapter 4 lays out some truths that we need to consider, we need to ponder, we need to put in place in our lives so that we can be mature as an individual believer and so that our church bodies can be mature bodies in Christ, looking and reflecting Christ to the world because that's our goal. I wonder if you've ever walked into a church and you walk into the doors, it's Sunday morning, and you're greeted by a little guy, and then you walk down the pews, maybe you find a seat somewhere else, and you see some more kids kind of all around the place talking and giggling, talking to each other, having a good time. The service is about ready to start. You look over, the piano starts to playing, and you're surprised because there's a child over there. They're maybe six or seven, but they're playing the piano, and you're like, wow, that's awesome. That's very cool. So you get ready. The musicians get up and they take their seats or whatever. They fill the choir and it's a bunch of children again. You're like, okay, this is interesting. I've never seen a church like this. And so then the service starts and a little guy is leading the music. And then you're expecting maybe a pastor to get up and preach, but it's another little guy. He stands up, he comes up here and he preaches and then you dismiss and you leave and you're like, wow, that was very interesting. I would say that all wells up within us kind of like a smile, like that would be really cute to see. But I want to challenge us with a thought of what if that was our church spiritually? Meaning you and I, we were spiritually immature and we didn't realize it. I've challenged our church back in Wisconsin. We need to be becoming mature as an individual and as a church body. Otherwise, that is what will happen. You'll walk into church and, all right, we're all dressed fine. We're all adults. We're growing older. That's what naturally happens. But we'll be made up of a church of little kids spiritually. And that's I believe, what Paul is writing to. He's afraid that if we don't press towards maturity as individuals and as churches, we'll have a lot of problems. You could imagine a whole church made up of children, there'd be arguments, there'd be conflict, there'd just be problems. And so Ephesians here is going to call you and I towards individual maturity, but also church body maturity. And that's really what this message is about. It's towards a mature church. Ephesians was written to push believers and to push churches towards maturity. Here in chapter 4, it's kind of a break, and Paul is kind of pivoting. You see maybe there in verse 1, I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you that you walk worthy of the vocation wherewith you are called, and definitely Christ-likeness. If you live a Christ-like life, that's you're becoming more and more mature, more and more reflecting Christ in all your actions. Paul is calling these Ephesians to live as individuals and as a church in the right way. And the right way is spiritually mature. So folks, tonight as we look at this passage, I want this simple statement to kind of be pressed into our hearts, to be pressed into our minds, and that's this. We must pursue spiritual maturity. If you're a believer, you're called to spiritual maturity. I'm called to it. You're called to it. We're called to it as a whole church. That should be something that's on our mind. How are we as a church becoming more and more mature? How are we as a church body growing, like becoming stronger, more equipped to do the work of the ministry? So as we focus in on this passage today, we're just going to look at what God's Word says about pursuing spiritual maturity. Our passage is going to be verses 11 to 16. So let me just read through it, and then we'll kind of go back to the beginning and just walk through it as it instructs us. Here's what God's Word says. Verse 11. And he gave some apostles and some prophets and some evangelists and some pastors and teachers for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, till we all come in the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God unto a perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, that we henceforth be no more children tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine by the sleight of men and cunning craftiness whereby they lie in wait to deceive, but speaking the truth in love, may grow up into him in all things which is the head, even Christ, from whom the whole body, fitly joined together and compacted by that which every joint supplieth, according to the effectual working in the measure of every part, maketh increase of the body unto the edifying of itself in love. Let's pray, and then we'll jump into this passage. Dear Heavenly Father, this passage is loaded, and there's a lot more than we have time to investigate, but I pray that in the coming minutes, as we kind of breeze through it and just touch on some main things that this passage is teaching, would you open our eyes, would your Spirit open our eyes, open our hearts to the truth that is laid out here, that you call every believer and every church to acknowledge? Lord, would we be individuals and a church body that is working towards maturity, that is actively and in very specific ways trying to be more like Christ? Lord, forgive us when we fall short. Show us how we can grow to be more like our Savior. In Jesus' name, amen. So maybe as I've been talking about spiritually mature churches and spiritually mature believers, you've been wondering to yourself, well, what's fundamentally necessary for me to be a mature believer? Or maybe you're wondering, like, what's fundamentally necessary for Crooked Creek Baptist Church to be a mature church? That's what this passage lays out for us. First, in the first two verses of our passage, you have him talking about apostles and prophets and evangelists, pastors and teachers. And then even in verse 12, you have him talking about saints. There's a lot of people. And what's necessary for spiritually mature churches is people. People are important. So a spiritually mature church or a spiritually mature believer is going to have a process. A process to take a step and another step and another step towards maturity. Verse 11 shows us people that are definitely involved in this process. All these people, we wouldn't say that we don't have apostles or prophets around today. We do have evangelists, that person that travels around and preaches God's word. We have pastors, we have teachers. Maybe you're a teacher here today. You guys are important towards mature churches. You're important to developing mature believers in Jesus Christ. But in verse 12, here's really where we get into that specific process. Verse 12 says that these people, the pastors, the teachers, the evangelists, they're here to perfect the saints. Scripture often calls any New Testament believer a saint. If you're a believer, you're a saint. So we are very really, in a very real way, we're congregated together as a group of saints here. And the pastor, the teacher, the evangelist, those people's job to develop mature churches and mature believers is to perfect you. Maybe you wonder, like, what does that word perfect really mean? Sometimes it can be translated equip. Okay, so the pastor's role is to equip you, if you're a church member, to be mature. They're to give you the opportunities to grow in your faith, to grow in maturity. That's the pastor's and teacher's job, is to equip the saints. Well, then, what is the saint's job? The saint's job, verse 12 shows us, and it says this, for the perfecting or equipping of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ. So what's your job in this process working towards maturity? The saint's job, every single believer's job, according to verse 12, is to do the work of the ministry. You and I, whether you're a pastor, a teacher, or just a saint in this church, it's all of our jobs to do the ministry. The saints are called to minister. That word minister there has the idea of, or it's taken from a root word that we get the same word as deacon. Okay, so the deacons are servants in the church. We remember Acts where they put the deacons in place. They were put in place really to serve the widows, to wait on tables, to take care of people. And that's our job as believers. That's every one of our job. If we claim to be a Christian, claim to be a born-again believer, you're immediately put into this job of serving others. And what's amazing about this job that you're put into is as you serve others, they are matured. As you invest and pour into someone else, they grow in their walk with God and they're blessed because of you. And what's wonderful about a local church is you have a body of believers doing that for each other. And really all that does is it builds up the body. The body becomes stronger. The body becomes more mature because saints are caring for each other. We're called to serve each other. Every one of us is in full-time ministry. I know we sometimes differentiate like a pastor's in full-time ministry because he works. He's kind of in vocational ministry. That's what he's called to do for a job. But every one of us is called to minister. Every one of us is called to this ministry of serving each other. But verse 12 doesn't end there. It also calls for the edifying of the body of Christ. That's that idea of building up the body of Christ. You can use your words, you can use your actions, you can use your time, you can use your resources to build up this body of Christ so that we have a mature local church. We must pursue spiritual maturity. That's what this passage is calling us for. And verses 11 and 12 show us that process. It's the church leaders pouring into the saints, equipping the saints so that you can do that ministry, so that you can serve each other, so that you can build each other up. That's a God-ordained process, according to Ephesians 4, 11 and 12. But we don't just have the process. Paul also, for the Ephesians, lays out what the end product is. If we're pursuing this process, the end product, not surprisingly, is mature believers and mature local churches. Do you see that in verse 13? Here's the product, the end product. Till we all come to the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, unto a perfect man, or maybe another way of understanding that is a mature man. A mature man is someone that has grown up. Their body is fully developed. And that's what happens if we pursue this God-designed process. We come, you and I come, as a church body, to maturity, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. So God gives us this wonderful process. It's called the local church. It's called having leadership that equips you. It's called you investing in each other, caring for each other, serving each other. And guess what? You turn around in a year's time, you look and it's like, wow, people are maturing. I am maturing. And how has it happened? Guess what? It's happened because people have poured into me and I've poured into others. I've used my gifts, my abilities, my talents, and served others, and they've served me. And guess what? We have a more mature church because we've followed God's process, and that product naturally happens. It's no surprise that end product is greater unity together, because we all have the same goals. We're striving together to become mature believers in a mature church. Unto the knowledge of the Son of God. It's no surprise that Peter says, but grow in grace and in the knowledge of the Son of God. That's something that all of us need. We need to know more about our Savior. We have each other to teach us about our Savior. That brother, that saint in Christ that sits a couple pews in front of you, they're given the Spirit. And the Spirit guides them to understand and know God's Word. And they can edify you. They can build you up. And you're called to build them up. As we follow God's process, we get that end product. And that's spiritual maturity individually and as a church. That's a wonderful thing to see. A body of believers united in the faith. growing in their knowledge of the Son of God, mature. Not only that, though, so Paul lays out, here's the process. Ephesians, follow this process. And as you follow this process, you'll come to this end product of maturity. But he doesn't end there. What are we striving for? Why are we pursuing this spiritual maturity? Well, Paul is going to lay this out for us. There's a couple reasons. I think the first is so that we have solid doctrine. We want solid doctrine individually so we know how to live. And we want solid doctrine as a church so that we live in the right way in our body of believers that's right beside us. Look at what happens if we don't pursue spiritual maturity. Paul states it in a negative way, that we henceforth be no more children. He uses the word children in this verse. Children are those who don't have solid doctrine. They're children in the faith, as opposed to that perfect or mature man in verse 13. So verse 14, that we henceforth be no more children, tossed to and fro and carried about by every wind of doctrine, by the sleight of men and cunning craftiness, whereby they lie in wait to deceive. You see, if we don't grow, if we don't mature in our faith, I will be led astray by my own heart. My own heart is deceitful. If I don't pursue sound doctrine through this process that Paul gives us, pursuing spiritual maturity, I'll be led astray. I won't have solid doctrine. If you don't do it, you won't have solid doctrine. If this church doesn't pursue growth, maturity, this church won't have practical, solid doctrine that they live by. And having solid doctrine is a goal. It's the goal as an individual and as a body of believers, because otherwise we will be led astray. There are many people around, many churches around that are led astray. And if we don't pursue spiritually mature churches, mature believers, we're at risk of that as well. Let us pursue solid doctrine. Not only that, though, why else should we pursue spiritual maturity? I believe Paul says so that you are able to speak the truth. Have you ever heard a little child who isn't mature yet? They just blurt out whatever's on their mind, and it's maybe not right, or maybe it is right, but it's not said the right way, and it can't be then received the right way. Well, that's the same in the Christian life. If a believer who is a spiritual child hears a situation and speaks to it, their counsel, their advice might not be as correct as it needs to be, as God's word calls it to be. So we pursue spiritual maturity so that we have not only solid doctrine, but so that we can speak the truth, all of the counsel of God's word. We can speak all of it. We see that in verse 15. But speaking the truth in love may grow up into him in all things, which is the head, even Christ. We need more believers that speak. But not only that, we need more believers that speak and that speak the truth. Does that make sense? There's a progression there. Maybe you need to work on articulating what you believe and the truth, okay? You need to start speaking, and then you need to take that next step and speak the truth as you learn God's truth, as you understand God's word. But that's not where the verse ends. It says you need to learn to speak the truth, then you need to add love. You ever heard someone say what's right, but they said it like very sharply, or they said it critically? It's like, okay, you spoke, and you spoke what was true, but they're not going to receive that because you said that rather unkindly. We have to combine all three of these things, speaking the truth in love, because all three of them is necessary. All three of them are very, very important. So why do we pursue spiritual maturity? For solid doctrine, so that we can speak the truth in love, but then also practically so that we function properly and effectively. Does that make sense? If we don't pursue spiritual maturity, we'll be that church that we started out the sermon with, made up of a bunch of little children. And we won't function properly. We definitely won't function efficiently. Have you ever seen a little child try to clean up their room and it's just not efficient, and their thoughts are scattered? We want to be a body of believers that functions properly, that functions efficiently, that does the Great Commission, that does the work of the ministry. And we see that in verse 16. This is why we pursue spiritual maturity, so that from whom the whole body fitly joined together and compacted by that which every joint supplieth, according to the effectual working in the measure of every part, maketh increase of the body unto the edifying of itself in love. If you're a believer here today, you're part of this church, you're necessary. You're very important. You're a ligament in this church body. You're a muscle in this church body. You're a part of the function and efficiency that this church can operate on. You think if someone is exercising and one of their muscles isn't functioning properly, as a whole, they're less effective. As a whole, they're less efficient. So this passage, Paul is calling the Ephesians and calling us, for each one of us to pursue spiritual maturity individually and as a church, because it's so necessary. It's so necessary for us to be effective and efficient for you and your workplace. You need to be mature so that you can have solid doctrine, speak the truth in love, and share the gospel with your coworkers, because you're in the ministry. But definitely also when you come here into the church and you are ministering to each other, you're part of this body. And there's no part of a body that is not important. You can't say, okay, I'm this part, you're that part, you're not important. No, every part of the body is important. I did a lot of running growing up, and you don't realize how important like one muscle is until it starts hurting or it's strained. And then everything that you do is hindered by that one muscle. So if you walk away with anything tonight, would you walk away with the reminder that individually, you need to pursue spiritual maturity. Corporately, as a church body, something that we need to pursue. As a body of believers, we must pursue spiritual maturity. If we don't pursue spiritual maturity, we'll have wimpy doctrine, not sound doctrine, and we'll be tossed to and fro. A double-minded man, he'll be unstable in all his ways. You won't be able to speak the truth in love, and the unbeliever in your workplace won't understand it. And also then this church won't function properly and effectively if we don't pursue this as a body and as an individual. So let me just exhort you. First, church leadership, because that's where this passage started. How could you do a better job equipping the saints? Church leadership, deacons, teachers, pastor. How can you do a better job to equip the saints so that they can minister and serve each other, care for each other? What's that step? I believe Ephesians, there's tons of room in this exhortation, in this passage, for us to be innovative and creative as church leadership. But let me also exhort you, church body, saints gathered here tonight. How can you better serve and build up that person a couple rows in front of you? Or maybe a couple rows behind you. How could you better strengthen them and serve them with your talents or your abilities or your time, your gifting? What could you do? There's room in this Ephesians 4 passage for you to personalize how you serve. And for you to personalize how you edify and build others up, that's personalized for you. If you have a certain gift or ability, use that gift or ability, because other people in the church don't have that. And you can build up this church. You can help this church grow towards maturity through you using the gifts that God has given you. Let us, as a church body and as individuals, pursue spiritual maturity, because God's word, Ephesians 4, calls us to that. Let's pray.